the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Have you ever left a place, perhaps a place where you had family and friends, or a place, maybe a job, where you had committed a great deal of your time and energy? Leaving is difficult, downright painful sometimes. Perhaps my most vivid memory of such an event was my last day at the school in Fairfax County, Virginia, where I was principal. It was the end of June 1989, and I was to enter Virginia Seminary in the fall to begin my education for ordained ministry. Everyone was gone. It was early evening, around 6 p.m., and I had loaded the last of my boxes into the car. I took one last walk around those empty halls, and it was as if I could hear the laughter of the children who had passed in and out of those classroom doors during my years there. I could almost feel their arms as they would run up to me and hug my legs to tell me of some great accomplishment. I could almost hear again the tiny little kindergartner, Megan, as she squealed, "Hi, Mrs. Puddle." She always called me that. She knew my name had something to do with water and dirt. I thought of the parents, the staff, the teachers, aides, specialists, custodians. We had so many different special education programs, one of the biggest gifted and talented center schools in the county, a non-categorically handicapped preschool program with four classes, language delay, self-contained programming, plus a regular K-6 program. So it was a complex organization. We were a family, and we had shared so much together. Walking out of that place for the last time was one of the most difficult things I've ever done. They had tried to make it a celebration with their wonderful gifts and poetry and original songs, but tears had flowed for us all in the end. Leaving places and people we love is never easy, even when we are sure that the move is right. It is our human nature to want to hold on to what has been good, to maintain the status quo, to hang on to the comfort and the security of what we know. We love to hold on to the past, yearn to return to the good old days. Today's gospel is about leaving, giving up, and the cost of that. Jesus had just returned from the mountain, where before the eyes of Peter, James, and John, he had been transfigured, and they had heard the voice of God. Before the stunned disciples had time to assimilate what had happened, Jesus healed a boy with a demon and predicted his own death. Now, we are told, the days drew near for him to be received up, and he set his face toward Jerusalem and certain death. The time for leaving, giving up, had come. They were leaving Galilee, their families, their friends, jobs, their whole lives. The term Luke uses here, translated set his face, is a Semitic expression frequently used in Hebrew scripture to connote opposition or contention. So this turning of Jesus toward Jerusalem is not a pleasant turning of one going on a pilgrimage or a vacation. It was a resolute, determined decision to contend with what lay ahead for him there, rejection, suffering, and death. Once the decision was made, urgency took over, and Jesus even chose to take a shortcut through the alien Samaritan territory rather than go the longer route that the Jews usually took to avoid the sure persecution they would face going through the territory of the hated Samaritans. Then, as they traveled, the gospel writer shows us how Jesus used this time to teach about the cost of discipleship. Someone Jesus and his disciples encountered on the road, caught up by the emotion of the events he had witnessed, spontaneously offered to follow Jesus. Jesus warned him about the possible consequences of being his follower: homelessness, separation from family and friends, the need for the total commitment that allows no turning back. To this person that Jesus spoke of may have seemed painful, even oppressive, but what he truly offered was total freedom. The Apostle Paul understood this, and so he wrote to the church at Galatia, as we heard in this morning's reading, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not again submit to the yoke of slavery. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another." Though we do not know along what path we may be led when we give our lives to God, the acceptance of the call to the life of the Spirit is a tremendously freeing experience. We are freed from the yoke of slavery, that desire for material things, power, ambition, all the measures of success our culture imposes upon us. We are freed from the need to be accepted, to be loved, to be admired, to be praised. All those things psychologists insist are necessary for our self-actualization or our self-esteem. Because we are created for the glory by God, because we are created to love sacrificially, because we are loved infinitely by God, we are free from all those needs the world imposes. But the initial cutting of that worldly umbilical cord is painful, and that is what Jesus wants those who choose to answer his call to know. There is an initial and deliberate decision to turn our backs on our own Galilee, so to speak, and set our faces toward our Jerusalem, a conscious decision to turn away from submission to the comforts of the world and, led by the Spirit, to contend with the wrongs of the world. This involves reorientation, a new way of seeing ourselves and our purpose in life. It is why Paul calls Christians new creations in Christ. There is a painful cutting of all the ties to the old world that allows a total submission of the self to God without the guarantees we human beings always want ahead of time. You know, when I was being considered for my job as principal, I interviewed with the superintendent of schools, and one of the questions he asked me was, "How are you with ambiguity?" Well, I said, "That's my middle name," and I got the job. But ambiguity is what we live with when we turn our lives over to God and when we allow the Holy Spirit to fill us and to guide us and to lead us on the way. It's like stepping out in lantern light, and all you can see is just that little spot of light in front of you. But you know that the one who holds the lantern knows the way. I remember vividly when my student advisee group met with our faculty advisor for the first time at seminary. He talked about some of the changes that had taken place in our lives. Most had moved, left jobs, careers, sold houses, left family, even given up pets to come to the seminary. He talked about some of the things that were to come. He talked about Christmas and Easter spent doing services when others were spending time with family and friends. Whoa. Almost at the same instant, all of us came to the full realization of this, that we might never spend Christmas and Easter with our families again until we were willing and able to come, unless they were willing and able to come to where we were serving. the looks on the faces around that small circle of new seminarians was one of sheer shock. Like those men who wanted to follow Jesus on the road, we had not considered all of the consequences. Elisha, in our Old Testament reading today, knew exactly what Elijah's mantle thrown upon him meant. His killing of his oxen was symbolic of his giving up all that would hold him from full commitment to the call. So the turning toward Jerusalem is painful for all of us. But once the decision has been made to allow God to be the ruler of our lives, the freedom that comes with that is indescribable, exhilarating, and complete. God gives us the ability to transcend whatever comes, to feel everything completely and deeply. But instead of being dragged down by what happens, we're expanded, enlarged, filled to overflowing with love. What often happens, however, is that when we see that first hint of sacrifice on the horizon, we, just like those men that Jesus met on the road, come up with all sorts of excuses. We may initially set our feet on the path, but when that first bump in the road comes, we find all sorts of excuses to turn back. I'm too old, that was mine. I'm too young, and my priest that I went to said, Gwen, how old was Moses when God called him? So, you know, what can you say to that? Anyway, I don't have training. I don't have the time. My family needs me. It's too late. It's too early. I have bills to pay. We can think of a million excuses to retain control of our lives and not to allow ourselves to be led by the Holy Spirit. Jesus knew when he turned his face toward Jerusalem that things were going to get rough. But he knew most of all that God loved him and that God would lead him through whatever experience he had there. He submitted himself completely to the power and guidance of God in complete trust and faith. There is tremendous freedom in trusting someone that much. It's like the feeling that we have when we're small children, and we know that we have parents who love us and will always protect us. Knowing that we are loved and that the one who loves us will always be there for us, supporting and guiding us into ways that will bring fullness of life, brings a tremendous sense of freedom. It allows us to change our focus from ourselves, because we no longer have to worry about ourselves, to love of others with great abandonment, fully, openly, completely, without fear or hurt, without fear of rejection. Abandoning all concern is what Jesus calls his disciples to do, to be unencumbered. When we can let go like that, God is free to give us the fullness of life that God intended for us. When I put my keys in the lock of the school door for the last time and turned from all that had given me my identity for years, there was a great heaviness in my heart. I stepped away from the door, turned around, and looked up at the sky in front of me, and there, stretching from one end of the street in front of the school to the other, was the biggest, brightest, most beautiful double rainbow I had ever seen in my life. Now, for the unbeliever, that may just have been a coincidence, but for me, that was a sign of the covenant that act of closing the door on my own life, turning toward a life into which God had called me, had sealed. The giving up of the old life is painful, but the freedom that comes of that is delicious. I would not have missed 1 minute of what God has brought me to in the last 27 years since I entered seminary. And I'm telling you, as a woman priest, it's not all been easy. Every day I am resurrected, recreated. God's call to me was to ordained ministry. God's call to you may lead you in an entirely different direction. But whatever that direction, giving up will be called for and freedom will come. Perhaps it's a call to give up fear and anxiety. And boy, today we could sure use some of that. Maybe it is a call to give up guilt. Or it could be a call to give up bitterness, anger, or animosity toward one who has hurt you. These are things that shackle us, that bind us and keep us in prison and block the power of the Holy Spirit from acting in our lives. In Christ, you are a new creation. For freedom, Christ has set us free. It is only by setting our faces toward Jerusalem, confronting what is keeping us bound, giving up our Galilees, that resurrection can occur. And I loved the hymn that we just sang. Will you come and follow me if I but call your name? Will you go where you don't know and never be the same? Will you let my love be shown? Will you let my name be known? Will you let my life be grown in you and you in me? Amen.